The National Education Association, NEA's, Read Across America is the nation's largest celebration of reading, helping students of all ages connect with diverse, inclusive books that make them feel seen and expand their worlds. America's educators are committed to inspiring a nation of readers, sharing the joy of reading by creating classrooms and communities where every student can access books that make them feel reflected and respected. But right now, access to diverse, age-appropriate books is under attack like never before. The past 4 years have brought an unprecedented number of book bans, 6,870 in the 2024-25 school year alone. NEA's Read Across America celebrates the joy of reading through curated book lists, recommended authors, and ready-to-use resources that help every parent and child find the stories they connect with. Join NEA's Read Across America and celebrate the magic of books. Learn more at readacrossamerica.org.
El Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal, y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Rotatoes, we're back again on a Friday. It's Arc 10, which means only one thing. It's Zach GMing, the wonderful Dan Lippert, John Mackey, and Ryan Rosenberg. I hope that you are enjoying the arc. I had a great time editing this one. If you were ever thinking about joining the Rotating Heroes Patreon, now is the time to do it, my friends. We have so much going on over there. It is wild. We now post, wait for it, 6 episodes over on the Patreon. We post all the episodes in their full glorious form, no part one, part two, and no ads. We post our arc box, which is where we talk back about the episodes, and we post 2 off-leash episodes per month if you are over on the Champions of Zophine tier. So we've got new tiers, no ads, all of the goodies. It's a great time to go and check it out. And, you know, it's like the price of like a coffee or whatever. So, you know, go ahead, check it out if you can. We would love to have you there, but we appreciate you being here and listening to the show. Thank you so much for your continued support, and I hope that you are loving it. And if you are, don't forget to leave us a review. But anyway, I think it's about time that we get into this week's episode. Take it away, Parzak.
Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes Podcast. I am Zach, and I'm the DM for this little two-shot that we got going on right now. Jasper is taking care of baby and spending a little time with family, as they say. They say, taking care of baby and spending time with family.
The only people said our Bachman Turner Overdrive. Taking care of baby. Yes.
Thank you for singing because I didn't get it.
I could tell by the reaction.
Yeah.
Not that it wasn't funny.
Well, you heard him talk about not being funny. First up, Dan Lippert. Dan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're cooking. We're cooking along.
We're cooking. We had cookies.
Cookies. Yeah. We little behind the DM screen. We ate some cookies in between episodes. So let me know if you can tell. Next up, we got John Mackey. John, how you doing?
Oh, Zach, I'm doing so great, my friend.
Love it.
Dude, that seemed sincere, right?
It seemed sincere until you did not. There was no elaboration, and it was like, okay,
yeah, great. No, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great.
Great.
Things couldn't be better.
Okay, now
thou doth protest too much.
Just going to sleep at normal times, waking up at normal times.
Yeah, not sleeping through my alarm. I didn't show up 45 minutes late for something this morning.
Moods have been normal.
Yeah.
Being a normal guy with a normal mood. Rolling right along, last guest for this two-shot, Ryan Rosenberg.
Hey, I'm good. I thought you were going to say Rollin' Ryan Rosenberg.
Keep rolling, Ryan Rosenberg.
What? Yeah. I know you've been there. John, shit right here.
Wait, why is it my shit?
We're just talking about the thing.
Reminded me how The Rock was in that last leg we did, and it's about Drive. It's about Powers.
Oh, it's come up a lot since. Our friend Jacob Wysocki had a thing where every episode he would make another new little reveal about his character, and one was that his middle name was The Rock Johnson. For audio listeners, which is everyone, I'm shaking my head. Well, we just finished the first episode, and we'll get into this episode with a little recap. Last time on the Rotating Heroes podcast, Sago, along with his trusted, dusty turtle friend, Kerp, made their way down from Pampa Pampa on his extended journey back home. They arrived at Swelter's Riverhead to look for a boat ride, and as he got into town, he realized it was sort of this small, one-street town with not a lot going on. As he explored it further, he found that the river was just deemed too hot to go down, and it would be possibly months before he was able to traverse it. While he was trying to figure out what to do, he met two fellow travelers. This unlikely friendship soon upset everyone in the Hothead Saloon, and a cordial but powerful feeling bugbear river guide Shep basically let them off with a warning. But not all was lost, as their new superfan friend Garf had an idea. Together with Strundleteet and Duder, they tricked Sago into providing a boat ride out of town before everything completely shut down. This proved ill-advised, as he immediately lost his head to a fiery geyser, and the boat proved to be Shep's. As Shep chased them out of town with the murderous intent, following the boat along the riverbanks, we left our heroes with a headless man at the helm as they headed down the hot and treacherous waters. So that brings us where we are today. Heading for a bit of a, I don't know, an edge? A cliff? A bit of a waterfall? You're looking over and you cannot see the edge of the water ahead of you. You're in the boat. Everyone give me an dexterity saving throw.
12.
14.
6.
Okay. As your boat lurches to this edge, you feel the kind of tip go forward, and as it goes down, you, Sago, fall over. You're feeling like I have nothing to hold on to as I go over this edge, and the boat does one of those Disneyland fake out rolls into a little more, like, it just goes down a hill a little bit and then levels out, and so it is not scary yet, but you do see another edge coming. Does anyone want to do anything to prepare for this, because it might be a little treacherous ahead?
I look around the boat to see if there's anything like stably, like, that I could hold on to around.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a mast. There is, it's really not a sailboat. Like, there is a little mast that you can, but I think if it was on the open water, there would be more sails and things like that. There is, you know, all kinds of like rigging and stuff. And you see that there's like a little cabin beneath as well. But it, you know, it's almost like the van life version of a boat, you know, because it's for these smaller waterways. But yeah, I mean, you can make a perception check or
a 7.
7. You find a bucket.
I like, you keep the bucket close because I get seasick pretty easily.
I cast water breathing on myself.
Okay, great.
Just preemptively, I'm still holding the hands of the headless man on the wheel, and I like freak out, and I'm just like, hey, just in case, everybody, I got us covered. And then I just spit, and and my spit rains down on everybody. It's like, it's symbolic, we can breathe in water now.
Yeah, you see, you look over and you see Duder spitting on everybody. for our listeners, Phoebe just came home and heard, the first thing she heard about our campaign is Duder spitting on everyone. So as the spit hits you, you feel like, just like, I don't know, just like a quick flash of this, whatever, this warlock magic hit you, and you're like, something feels different, but it's hard to say what. Strundleteeth.
I use my genius wisdom to try to find a way to stop the boat. There's got to be something on the side of the banks to anchor us and stop us from going down the next lurching spot.
Make just sort of a wisdom check, a flat wisdom check. So roll wisdom and add whatever your wisdom score is.
Six.
Your wisdom in this moment, as you're trying to think of a way to stop this boat, some part of you, the wisdom is maybe the boat doesn't want to be stopped. So you nod to yourself as the boat lurches toward another waterfall.
I close my eyes and I press my fingers together and I come to peace with what is.
Wow. As you see Strundleteak finding this new level of peace, Sago, you have your bucket in hand. Duder, you have cast this spell on everyone. You lurch towards what is seemingly the beginning of clear rapids. The boat lurches over this edge, and you start heading down what feels like a water slide from hell. As the boat kind of banks around these corners, like you see the water switchbacks, like kind of back and forth down this hill. As this happens, you're flying. Your boat is picking up speed, rounding these corners. You need to steer this more heavily than ever before because it's just like going back and forth, and you'll actually run aground if you don't. I think we're gonna start this off with a little skill challenge, and this is simple. We'll do a couple rounds of this. Every round, there's going to be an opportunity to do something to stabilize the boat. But you can't do the same thing you did the previous round. And let's all roll initiative. So I rolled for Kerp. Okay, so acting first with a 22, Strundleteet. Found some peace, ill-gotten peace. What do you do?
I feel so connected to the universe and to nature. What about the fish? I think I can talk to the fish and have them help us steer the boat. They can control our speed and direction. Beautiful fish, come into my mind. Surround the boat.
You look over, he's the smallest, roundest wood elf you've ever seen, communing with nature. What skill are you using for this?
My animal handling.
Okay, cool.
Eight.
Okay, you look in the water. Miraculously, you see this little rainbow trout. But with these gouts of hot water, it seems like it's like evolved in a weird way where it was almost like kind of like a lava looking coat to it. It looks up at you. And what do you say?
Let us follow you. Take control of the boat and save our lives.
This, with an eight... This rainbow trout, sort of lava-covered rainbow trout, does not acknowledge you in any way and just keeps...
Dang! I really thought I had him. I really felt connected.
Next, with the 16, Duder.
I cast Shape Water.
Okay.
To try to, like, push water out of our way in front of us to try to like calm the water.
You can kind of shape the water to be less, in your favor,
yeah,
as
like
you navigate
kind of
forward.
Cut through the tumult.
Okay. Since it's a cantrip, I still feel like we should have you roll something because you're not expending a spell slot or anything. Okay, so make a flat charisma a throw.
It is. I rolled a 15 plus 3, 18.
18. Okay. So you look up and you see Duder's eyes go white as he begins to shape the water, spit just falling out of his mouth and then floating up, holding the elbows of the headless man in front of him. And it seems to be working. Sago, what do you do?
And I'm also like really holding on to this guy now because I'm like, I'm feeling the everything and I'm getting like pressing the dead body against the
and you're a halfling, wheel. So your face is in his butt.
Yeah, right. Essentially, right. Oh yeah, I'm like kind of under him. Doing a curl into his butt kind of to pull me closer to the steering wheel.
Beautiful. Sago, what's going on with you?
I look over at Strundleteet and I'm like, oh, he can commune with nature.
You see him, he's yelling at a fish in the water.
And so I cast Bardic Inspiration on him because I'm like, he must just be a little shaken right now. Okay. And I look and I go, it's within you, obviously, to talk to the fish. You have the power. Your voice is the voice all the fish should hear.
I know. Oh, my God. Well, if you're casting Bardic Inspiration, what did you get? You got an 8? Find a D8 and add and roll that, and you can add that to your score.
Six. So 14.
A 14. Okay. My God.
You clearly have the power. Use it.
I know.
Okay. So you yell, as this fish starts to kind of swim away from you, you yell back at it again. What do you say? Tell me what you say to get the fish's attention.
You know you love me. Get back here.
This fish,
I'm more connected.
This fish. Fish looks up at you and is like, and kind of sighs underwater and kind of pushes the boat to the side. It doesn't really feel like it should be doing anything, but I don't know. It does feel like the boat lurches more in the right direction than it doesn't, so maybe it is helping. Because you're helping his roll, can you do something else for me for your roll for a save? Because y'all have two saves so far.
I've seen... in my travels, men of the ocean doing sea shanties to kind of unite each other towards a common goal. And so I start to try to recall a sea shanty to sing here as the spittle and the water are splashing against my face. and I belt one out to try to motivate my men here and the fish below.
Kerp looks up at you expectantly and is like, what are you going to sing? if you want to, you don't know.
I'm sailing away.
Perfect. Can you give me a performance check?
21.
Wow.
Strundleteet, Deuter, as you feel the boat heading down this basically like fiery water slide with gouts of steam and some little bits of like flame popping up, you see the water boil in pockets, and there's some like little, you know, like animals sitting in little hot tubs looking over it, like forest dwelling animals, like eat, like look, making kind of an eat face. It's a scary moment. You feel that you're out of your depth. You see the headless body of this man holding the wheel in front of you. You're not, so as well as you're doing right now, some part of you is scared. And then you hear, I'm sailing
away. You
see one leg up like a Captain Morgan ad. Sago's beautiful voice rings out across the waters. And some part of you feels centered by this, even more centered than you were before, Strundleteet.
My eyes roll into the back of my head and I start levitating. Sailing away.
Kerp's like, never heard this shanty before, but I love it.
I look over and notice he's just jumping up and down.
Wow, I'm levitating.
Does this make you nervous? So Kerp tried to do an acrobatics check and fell down. So three successes, one fail. As you bank around this corner, you feel that the things that you have done have helped the boat not take damage from banking around this corner. But you do see that you have another one ahead. Now, you can't use the things that you just used. Try to pick a new thing to help with the boat. As you come around this corner, you do see that like there is like magma kind of spilling out of the ground in this corner. Magma.
I see a gigantic rock on the side of the of the bank, and I use my acrobatics to jump off the boat with a rope and tie it to the rock. Ooh. Swiftly jumping back onto the boat and saying, "This'll hold, I guarantee it."
Okay, give me your acrobatics check.
22.
22. You see the like full Strundleteeth fully centered, yells at a fish, and then looks out into the water, dives out from the river, like crossing what seems to be like a pretty large stretch of water in a single bound, and he has a rope tied to him like a pirate, and then quickly wraps it around a rock. And as he does this, he's able to, you see him walk across the rope back into the boat as swiftly as he went out there. It holds on to the rock. The rock is not big enough to just fully stop the boat, but it starts to drag it in a way that is turning the boat in the direction you want to go. So that is one success. Deuter.
Deuter starts like kind of like really starting to freak out. His face is really pressed into the...
The butt of this dead body.
And he like senses that the boat is moving in the right direction. So he casts Gust again to like aid the boat in that, like sort of push it in the direction that it needs to go.
So Deuter, you are casting Gust of Wind. Do me a favor and make another roll like you were just for your charisma.
17.
Okay. That passes. And that is the floor for passing for this second round because it's getting a little harder. As you see, Deuter is able to blow into the sail at the precise angle to kind of push the boat in the correct banking direction as lava just kind of spits out of this spot on the river. Next up, Sango.
I cast Mage Hand.
Okay.
Have the hand also take hold of, because I see the steering column kind of like shaking, and I see Deuter's head getting like more up the butt, and I'm like, I don't know if I trust this. So I cast Mage Hand also on there to help him guide the steering column.
Incredible. Roll me a flat charisma roll.
22.
Nice. That works. Okay, so another round passed as you are able to avoid this sort of spilling out lava. You feel the heat on your faces as you kind of bank around this corner. Little flecks of magma spitting out. And you see in front of you this last turn around this corner. You see that it gets like weirdly skinny and sort of a narrow... You have to kind of like... thread the needle to get through this area and get into like the open waters again. One last round of the skill check. We're back up. Oh, I got a roll for Kerp. Kerp with a 10. Also tried to do a strength roll to grab the the other side of the steering column and hit himself in the face with the wheel and fell down.
For a moment, I look at Kerp and consider, like, oh, I could maybe throw him off right now, and it would look like he just fell.
Murder him?
I think about it as I notice him knocking over twice. I think better of it.
Help me.
After that, we're back up to Strundleteeth. Strundleteeth, it's your turn.
As I look down the waterway, I see how thin it is and notice that there are four, use my perception to notice that there are four trees that have fallen over and see that if we just hop out of the water onto the trees, we can roll right along them and get back into the water.
Grind the rail of trees. I will say you can do this one with disadvantage if you would like, which means you roll two d20s and you take the lower because it is such a feat. Okay. So you definitely try to grab the
plus
steering.
Four, so eight.
Okay, you try to grab the steering column and aim for the. What do you yell to them as you do this?
We're about to go fish brain.
What? What does that mean?
It's a sick skate move. I used to skate when I was a youth, and this is an awesome trick that would get me out of any situation.
You see Strundleteeth grab the wheel and start aiming it, just and it, as it starts hitting the banks of the of the river, going unsuccessfully going across these logs. What do you guys do?
Pine cone.
So he is for my image. He's like jumped off. Or he's tried to get the boat.
He's still
to
on.
It.
I think like he would have to use the wheel to steer in that
steer
direction.
Us into it.
And so my interpretation of that is that he grabbed it and just rammed into the side of the riverbank.
I'm like now replaying the last two things in my head of like the talking to fish, and then the like jumping off and trying to like rope us to a stone. And what was then impressive, I'm now like, oh no, that was luck. And I'm getting really scared actually that like we're fucked here.
Your song kind of starts to be a little shakier.
I remember that I am like a part feline and I'm horrified of water.
I think when we hit the side, like I like realize that I've been like so focused on my stuff, my face has been so far into this dead body's asshole that I let go of the wheel because I'm realizing I'm getting like pulled all around by it, and I like throw the body off of my face to see what's going on.
So you knock the body out of the way. Because that is seemingly so easy, I'll let you do that as an object. You could have done this a little while ago.
I was too focused.
It's honestly
on
a
the
burden that you've given just yourself.
Well, I was too focused on my other stuff, dude.
So I'll let you roll for something else. I'm not going to say that helped.
That was just to put me in a position. Then I realized what has happened.
Yeah.
And I'm like just kind of freaking out because I think we never thought that we were going to be in a situation like this.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Teet, what the hell? And I jump on the other side of the steering wheel and try to like use my whole weight to like pull us away from.
Okay. What skill are you going to use for that?
I guess I would use... I'm going to try to like jump up and like really get some like momentum because I know I'll need it.
Yeah.
So could I use like acrobatics?
Yeah, I'll let you use acrobatics. You're able to time it. It looks like you're trying to do the wheel of, not the wheel of
exactly.
fortune.
Exactly. The Price is Right.
Price is Right dollar thing. Yeah. And you get like vaulted up into the air and let's see how it goes. Make your roll.
I rolled a 13.
Okay, do you add anything to that?
It was 11 plus 2.
Okay, so this is the final round. It's the hardest one.
No.
You grab the wheel, and it throws you into the air.
No.
and you watch as as Duder grabs the wheel. He says his plan out loud, and then it kind of like it's like a redneck fail video.
Right.
Like it's ripped into the air. He's like cartwheeling, spinning faster than you've seen.
Like a squirrel that's falling out of a tree. Yeah.
And then he just bam hits the ground hard.
The ground of the boat.
Yes,
still.
The ground on the boat. He's still on the boat. So that is two fails.
Oh no!
We've careened into a wall. He's fallen down.
Yeah.
He's holding the wheel, but not very well.
He was. I think after you hit the wall, maybe he's not holding it anymore. But if he is, I mean, if you have an idea for that, great.
No. I'm just painting myself a picture here.
Shoot, my plan didn't work. It just scratched the boat.
No, you're doing your best. You're doing your best. You're fine. You're fine. But we have to get out of here.
I am now fully shaken from the song, and I'm like, what? You're a huge, like, beast. You're strong. You've got the hand on the wheel. Take the wheel. And I think, like, the dead body falling off kind of, like, shocked me back. So I'm just trying to get my hand on the steering column with my hand that I cast to just right the ship a little bit here.
Beautiful. You've seen two people aim for the wheel completely
biffing
it can't be that hot.
In sort of different directions.
So I drop my puke bucket.
It lands on Kerp's head.
I can't see anything.
I look back.
Can't see
second,
anything
I'm
at
like,
all. Did we die? Promise me you'll all survive. Promise me.
We promise. What kind of check would this be?
It would be a strength check.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So I have +3 athletics. I roll a 17.
Okay, this one was an 18 for this round, because the last round was 17. This is another fail. Nothing Kerb can do to save this. As you're aiming towards this thing, this sort of narrow chute, your boat is kind of bouncing back and forth between the sides. You feel this, like, as your boat scoots through this really ungracefully, but gets through this area. You saved on most of them. This one, everyone, give me a dexterity saving throw.
Nat 20 for me.
Nice.
14.
17.
Okay. It was a 14. So if you got above a 14, you passed. But Kerp is going to take 3 points of falling damage as he gets rocked by this. And you guys are through this sort of stretch into more calm waters as you got past the worst of these rapids.
Good job, guys. Great job.
Oh, I told you my stuff would work.
That went so good. That couldn't have gone better, right?
That was harrowing. Good.
Yeah, we might be the best ship crew this ship's ever seen. I mean, this is our ship.
Just because we made it out of this doesn't mean I forgot that moments ago you lied to me to steal a boat. You got me in bad. You say, "Oh, how can I trust you guys again?"
Look. What will it take for you to chill out right now?
You need a coffee?
Do you have coffee?
No.
No, but if that's what we need to do, we can pull the boat over. We can try.
Pull the boat over. I'm trying this thing where I breathe through one nostril in and then out through the other. So I'll just try that for a second.
You can do that?
Give me a moment of peace, and I will try to regain composure here.
The dragon's breath. I know this strategy. In through one nostril, out through the other. It feels like the heat of fire.
I just have little slits on my face. I don't.
Great, thank you. Just for one moment, just allow me to try it in peace.
We'll let him do that.
Yeah.
Guys, you want to play a game? It's called Would You Rather.
I love this game. Okay. We do this all the time, yeah.
So, would you rather be stuck on a boat with only cousins, or be stuck on a boat with only models?
This is a tough one.
Sorry to break my meditation. The models are going to be your family. I just know they are.
Well, I love my cousins. I got good family.
The models are cousins.
Oddly enough, my cousin is a model. So,
oh, no way.
I'm used to this.
Your blood cousin?
Well, no.
Blood relative?
What are you, no offense, cousins can be a lot of things. Cousin is like a term of endearment. It's like a friend who you treat like family.
Cousin can be a family friend.
Yeah, exactly.
When it's just cousins, though, you only got canned meat to eat. And when it's the model cousins, you only got salads.
I guess I'll take the models and the salads.
Oh, gross. Gross. Whoa.
Because of the salads or the models?
Yes.
Which one?
The salads and the cousins.
Well, what would you do, Turtle Man?
I don't have any cousins.
Convenient.
Again, though, we said that a cousin can be it's a friend relationship as well. It's you know, you got somebody that you're best friends with.
He looks over to Saga like, yeah, I think so.
And this guy, he's looking right at you.
My best friend, right over there.
Oh, wow. That's actually a really heartfelt moment right now. Yeah. I can see that he really means this.
I think he needs some stuff, so I'm going to go into the cabin and see if I can get him a coffee or something. Maybe there's something in there. And so Kerp disappears into the cabin.
You done?
It's not how you end somebody's meditation.
Hey. Your eyes are closed. We're talking to you. Hey. We're poking your shoulder.
You guys are pissing me off, all right?
Well, we just went through a really harrowing experience together. I feel like this would have been a great moment for us to all kind of look at each other and be like, great job. You guys did your jobs good. We did a great job. We all now should trust each other because we didn't die in this situation.
Look at this. God damn it, my voice. All I want to do is get myself back on land and away from you two forever.
Oh.
Wow.
Whoa, man.
Wow. That hurts.
Shit, man.
Yeah, that really hurts, man. I mean, what have we ever done to you? Yeah, seriously.
Well, You tricked me into stealing somebody's boat, somebody who looks very strong and angry.
You wanted to go south. What are we supposed to do? You're sitting there begging us to figure out a way to take you south.
I'm being gaslit.
We lost our table.
Yeah, we lost our table. We couldn't stay there. We had to get out of there.
I had found peace with this idiot over here, and now it's like I've got three idiots with me, and it's like, what's the point of fighting peace if you're just kind of
annoyed? Are you sure you didn't get bit by a beetle or something? Yeah. What is wrong with you? Because when I was bit by a beetle,
you
I was
seen
angry
it.
Like you.
He
are.
Was so angry, and even now you'll even notice. I don't know if you caught it, but a few times during that treacherous passage we just did, the beetle bite was just throbbing and just growing and shrinking and growing and shrinking. It's like it's like a mood ring. Kind of for him.
I didn't see that happening at all. It's happening at all. Yes. I wasn't, how did you notice? Your head was almost all the way up Garf's butt.
When you've known somebody for 30 years, you can feel it at this point. You know, if I don't need to be able to look at it. I can have my face firmly planted up of a corpse's ass and still know what my friend is doing. That's what real friendship
guy.
Is.
I'm a vulgar guy, and you are disgusting.
You know what I think your problem is, Sago? I don't think you know how to have a friend. I think that's your problem. You don't have a relationship like I have with Teet, and you have never had one, so you don't get it. So it's weird to you. You can't sacrifice anything for yourself or other people. I get it. I've seen a million people like you my whole life. It's the reason that me and Teet are such good friends is because we got each other's backs no matter what weird choice either one of us makes. If Teet wants to wrap a rope around him, jump off of a careening boat onto a rock, I say, Teet, you got this. He does it, and then we make it through. I don't sit there and judge him for the choices that he's making, which it seems is all you do, Sago.
It became clear to me one comment into this that he wasn't going to say anything that convinced me. So I start looking around just to see where we are a little bit.
Yeah, as you look around.
Get an idea of if I can get off the boat soon or if we can moor ourselves.
You see kind of this harsh landscape around you. It's kind of it's almost like when you're in the Colorado River and you have these big rock faces on either side. You're kind of deep down in this sort of valley between these this canyon. There is still this kind of hint of pockets of sizzling water. Yeah, you see more animals. There's a couple of monkeys chilling in a hot tub, it seems like. But it's they're very small. They're it's a hot tub the size of your bucket. I'm also going to be rolling for something, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. Okay.
You guys ever get jealous of a monkey? Sometimes you see a monkey doing so good, and I get jealous. Look at that monkey over there.
Jealousy is a strong feeling.
Are you talking about how he's relaxing or his hair? You can see him obsessed with his head of hair up there.
Well, I think they're connected. Why do you think he's so relaxed? Because you know he's got such a good head.
He's got nothing to worry about over there.
If I had a head of hair like that monkey, I would be relaxed too.
I do hate to break it to you, but I think you lost your peacock feather in the rapids.
What?
I'm sorry.
No! No!
Teet, calm down.
You saw a man decapitated in front of you, and you didn't react half.
But he didn't have my feather.
You have been listening to Arc 10 of the Rotating Heroes podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a review on whatever podcasting app you're using. It really helps new rotators find the show, and it means that we can carry on doing it, and we can carry on getting the best improvisers and telling the coolest and the most funny and the most silly stories out there. So please leave us a review if you have a second on whatever podcasting app you're using. Your rotators for this arc were Dan Lippert, Ryan Rosenberg, and John Mackey. Your GM was Zach Oyama, and these episodes were edited and produced by me, Jasper William Cartwright.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.